NRP S2 E17, Learning to Paint. Hey everybody, welcome back. This week, let's talk about learning to paint. Now, like I said before in the drawing podcast last week, the first thing we really want to talk about is the mindset. Now, this is important because I've had professors put you in the wrong mindset, and then I've had professors that put you in the right mindset. And, you know, I really like to take a note from Bob Ross, who, when you watch him painting, he was happy, he was laughing, he was having a fun time. Now, professors that I've had complained about him, saying that he was just selling tricks and trying to sell paint to little ladies, and maybe he did. But you know what? He also enjoyed what he did. He had fun with it. And that's really important when you're doing work, because if you got to be doing work for hours at a time and making something, enjoy yourself. You know, don't sit and go, this isn't doing what I want. This isn't me. Why? You know, don't do that. Remember to have fun with it. Think happy little trees. Think about the stories you're telling with the image. Try and go, ooh, this is a nice drawing. Or, I like painting, you know, this image, this still life. Look at the colors. Look at this. Find something about it that you can get into. Also, we will work until it's done. Meaning, don't wig out. Don't worry about it and think, I made this and all these things look horrible. You can fix it. You can fix it. You're an artist. And, you know, if you're going to be working on an hour, you know, for doing one of those daily paintings, you're trying to paint a bowl of fruit and you're like, this doesn't look right, toss it out. That one's done. It's work until it's done and we can move on. Move on in your life. Don't worry about it. Now, types of paints. There's lots of types of paints. You know, I've been trying to do digital painting lately, but there's also traditional paints like acrylic, oil, watercolor, gouache, tempera, etc. Now, I have had no real experience with tempera because when I was going in art school, my art professors hated tempera. They used it to stop up holes and bottles. You know, and it's a matter of what you like. You know, don't be discouraged by somebody considering something a crappy art form, you know, crappy material, you know, because there are people that make gorgeous work with ballpoint pens, and some people prefer having the crappiest tools and whatnot, because they like to challenge themselves, and they like to show people that you can make good stuff with cheap, you know, like I've shown in previous episodes, people making images with ketchup and all kinds of different materials, so there's that. But also remember that you want your materials that you're working with to represent you and to actually hold up in so many hundred of years. You know, you want to have something archival. You don't want to use something cheap and then, you know, in 100 years it deteriorates and all that will remain will be photographs of your work. You know, it's important to have good materials. You know, I mean, the thing is, if you go to like a dollar store, you're going to get like, you know, the cheap paint, and it's probably not going to be archival, and it's probably not going to mix well. It's going to be cheap because it is cheap. And, you know, if it depends on what you're doing. If you're practicing painting and you want to do like a painting all in blue just to try and learn how to do tones and mixing chroma values and stuff like that, more power to you. Go ahead and do that. You know, I mean, watercolor and gouache don't quite get the respect that they really deserve. But, you know, find what works for you. But overall, it's a good idea to find something that is a professional, you know, material, or at least a good quality material. Now, acrylic paint I've had unpleasant experiences with because it's a really thick paint, and I've had people, you know, why is it so chunky, and is this still wet or is this dry? And it's like, because acrylic is a very thick material, and you really have to thin it down to get it workable, and then for me it always got runny, so I never liked it because it was like painting with plastic. So I really personally stay away from acrylic. Don't have good memories of it. I'm sure someday I'll probably revisit it, but personally I really like oil. Why? Because it's easy to blend. It dries very slowly, which can be a good thing and a bad thing. If you're working on something and want to keep working it for so many hours, you can do that with oil. You know, with acrylic, it will settle in, and then you have to paint over it. Also, you can use things like glazing with oil, where you can go over it with a thin coat of glaze and get that shiny veneer. Is that the right word I'm looking for? Anyway. So there's oil. Watercolor doesn't quite get the credit it's due. It's an acquired skill, an acquired taste, because I've seen some really great watercolors, and then, boy, I've seen some horrible watercolors. I mean, yeah, because watercolor paper kind of gets a different effect than a canvas. You know, you can paint with watercolor, and you can add water, and it's a lot like working with inks, you know? There's just certain ways to approach it and to let things pool and to, you know, work with the material as it's being used, as opposed to like working with oil where the paint is solid. You know, if you're working with watercolor and then you add water, well, that's a totally different ball game there. Now, types of brushes to get a hold of. You know, there are obviously, you can talk about different kinds of bristles, you know, kinds of different material, you know, artificial and synthetic versus, you know, horsehair versus, you know, everything under the sun. But you know, there's the basics. There's the round, the flat, the fan brush, a big brush for just whoosh, filling up a big flat area, and then small brushes for detail. And really, if you get a decent set of brushes, you should be all right. I mean, these are things easy to get in like a pack or something, you know. And really, there's no end all be all. Like, you know, a brush will wear out over time. You know, you might want to spend like, you know, $15-45 on a nice expensive brush, but if this is your first set of brushes, get some cheap ones, because you're gonna blow through them. Get some cheap ones, work out what you like. You know, you might be like Van Gogh and really want some impasto and some thick slapping paint around brushes, and those little detail brushes will just break on you. So it's a matter of figuring out what works through trial and error. Other tools to consider, you know, a palette. You know, there's the stereotypical artist palette, which, be quite honest, it's like I never like staying there with the palette, and then you've got the hand, and it's like it's a balancing act, and I don't like having a palette. We always, you know, when I was in art school, we just used panes of glass that you could mix the paint on and then scrape it off at the end of class, or wrap it up in saran wrap so you would keep it for the next painting session. And you know, there's all kinds of palettes. I mean, the fellow who makes Dinotopia, he uses like freezer paper or tile paper. But yeah, you can use pretty much anything to make a palette. It's just basically where you put your paints. A palette knife is not only useful for clean, you know, for mixing colors, but also sometimes if you just want to do a lot of scraping on the canvas, it's a good useful tool. You want to have a good one. The plastic ones are fun, but they're not worth it. Get a real solid metal one, you'll be fine. You know, they're not expensive. Also, a brush washing cup, because you know, especially if you're using oils and you're mixing colors and you use a nice color and then you want to rinse it out, get a nice washing cup. Sometimes you'll get one with little handles. You want to have a big one that you can, I like to have a big, I had a nice big one that it had different compartments in it, and then I'd fill those up with the paint thinner, and then that way I could clean one out that here and then kind of clean it over there, and then overall, and that way no one really got all that dirty. Some people just use a regular glass or cup, though. And paper towels, of course, for cleaning up. Now, remember, though, if you're using paint thinner, you know, be careful around chemicals, because those things are dangerous. You know, and it's like, I can tell you stories about bad things that will happen to you with wrong kinds of thinners, and, you know, stuff that eat through, you know, your skin after a while, and eat through your veins, and all kinds of bad stuff, and also just ventilation. You don't want to be using stuff, you know. I was in art school one time, trying to draw with a big Sharpie. After a while, I got a headache. I should probably go get some ventilation because there's none in this apartment. Yeah. So be careful around chemicals. And it's just, you know, use gloves when appropriate for different things, like if you're printmaking and whatnot. But just be smart. Don't let them be around things that can cause fires, because those are very dangerous. Only you can prevent art fires. useful tips, folks. And also, let's talk real quick about canvases. Now, you can nowadays get a treated canvas with primer where you can paint on it, and it's not that bad. Get it from Blick, get it from you know, wherever. You can also make your own, you know, stretch out your own canvas if it's something big, or, you know, if, in a lot of painting classes, they'll say, okay, we're going to make stretchers, we're going to make our canvases, and you make the canvas, and then you prime it up with gesso. Sometimes you might need black gesso because you're doing, you know, a dark image, whatever. But, you know, nowadays they're easy to get a hold of. If you just want, you know, maybe you want to work on a wood, a block of wood with some primer on it. Maybe you want to work on, you know, a panel instead. But they're easy to get a hold of. And, you know, because I've seen people who are like, I will paint on anything. I'll paint on any surface. Woo! And it's like, that's great. Paint on the proper one. Because I don't want to be walking past that in 2 years and go, well, one, why did he paint that? And two, it's flaking off. Be smart. Be paint on things that are supposed to be painted on. I mean, yes, people paint with ketchup and stuff, but it's like, that's a lot. Some of that's a gag. Some of it's to make a point. And it's like, really, if you want your work to last 100 years. Also, a thing that I never did in class because we never got around to it, but they just mentioned it at the end. You want to have sealant on the painting so that way it'll seal them in. Now, when you're doing, when you're working on a painting, you want to have a layout drawing of the thing that you're working on. You know, I mean, sometimes you can work with the paint, like have an underlay painting, and then, you know, that's a layout painting, and then work over it with some other colors. But if you're working with a drawing, I really recommend charcoal because it's easier to erase, and also, you know, graphite will, some depending on the paint, sometimes it will seep through and eat through the painting, and you can, people will see your undersketch, and it's like, that's not really what you want, is it? I mean, there are some people, they draw it in pencil, and then they put a sealant over that, and it's, you know, they seal it in, and it's like, that's stuff I have no experience with, but it's stuff to, you know, stuff to practice and look into. Anyway, so another method of working, glazing, as we talked about. Painting with a glaze over it so you get that nice shine, and then there's a little bit of color, and you work in layers. And we did this in college, and I hated it because it's a long process. Lay down a coat, wait for it to dry, lay down another coat. You know, there's also working wet on wet, which is what I really like. Bob Ross is, you know, a big proponent of it. It's very fast. He'd paint for like an hour, and he would, you know, slap some paint on and then blend it on the canvas, and before the other dry he'd wiggle something else wet. And it's a good method. It's not the best thing. I mean, sometimes, you know, you work on stuff and you want it to dry and then you want it to come back depending on the kind of texture and what you want to do with it. But it's a nice practice for beginners. It's a nice practice for the people that try and make something oh so precious all the time. Make something quick in like a half hour, an hour, 2 hours. Do something then and be done with it. You know, the daily painting exercise. Because, you know, people can work on a huge canvas that's an entire room size, and they can be working on it and be fussing on it and never be happy with it and work on it the rest of their life. Or they can make something really small and really quick just and do another one the next day. And it's, I think it's healthy to do that. So, anyway, that's a painting. Now, I recommend if you're going to do painting, enjoy it. Have fun with it. And don't get bogged down by one or two bad paintings, because I've had people that, you know, I've had some bad experiences in the art ed world from people who didn't know what they're doing. You know, I never really had a problem with the professors that were very pushing you forward and, you know, who worked the dog crap out of you, as long as they, you know, as long as there was a goal and you felt like you got something out of the class, you know, as long as they weren't just saying stuff just to say it, just to constantly act like they're, you know, it's not always the professor's job to, it's not their job to coddle you, but it's also not their job to constantly be saying, no, this isn't it. It's like, you need to give students some direction. And as a student, it's your job to look for something that works for you. Don't always go to it. Don't always go for the one thing. Try, it's your job to try and do as many things as you can. Find what works for you. Your style, your look, what you're trying, your work will come through eventually. Style, you know, style happens in the cracks. Style happens after the fact. That's not something you intentionally go out, because if you go out and go, I'm going to draw all the animes, well, that's all you're ever going to draw, and it's all ever going to be fanboyish, and it's never going to, you know, It's like you could go out and go, I'm going to master drawing and I'm going to work hard at what I do. And then maybe you do some anime that's in this crazy new style that nobody's ever seen. And, you know, that's all what it's about. Experimenting and finding out what works, what doesn't, and learning more through the process. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. I'll see you all on the other side. More, visit NoRightsProductions.com. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/NoRights. And hey, why don't you check out my Tumblr at NoRights.tumblr.com.